Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast on coaching in the workplace. My name is Tracy Sinclair and I am a corporate executive coach and professional development consultant and management development trainer. I have been working with the AAT's staff, branch network and members for the last 13 years. This particular podcast is one of a mini-series of four in total around the topic of how to use coaching within the workplace as a highly valuable addition to the management and leadership skill set. During the course of this recording, we will cover the following areas: coaching in organisations, what is coaching and how it works, characteristics of coaching, benefits of coaching, and the coaching process. Coaching in organisations. At the heart of leadership lies the requirement for an effective leader to be able to move seamlessly between being a manager, a mentor, trainer, facilitator, coach, and consultant. This range and agility is now viewed as an essential skill in today's business world. A leader's ability to have meaningful conversations with their people on a wide range of issues, including their own personal development, will make them even more effective in delivering results for all stakeholders. Employee engagement is now known to be one of the most critical features of a successful organisation, as it promotes and underpins the ability to deliver good results consistently through motivation, pride, and commitment, as well as the acknowledgement and rewards that come as a result of those qualities and effort. On the other hand, a lack of engagement, resulting from some level of dissatisfaction, leads to higher levels of absenteeism, apathy, demotivation, and a decline in overall performance, not to mention the risk of losing talented staff with potential to other organisations who offer better opportunities for growth and career development. The alarming fact is that research is showing that currently 71% of staff in the UK are not engaged with their jobs and their organisations. There seem to be two major factors which are contributing to this situation. One is that during times of economic challenge, many businesses choose to cut investment in their staff. This has been proven to be a very false economy, given that those businesses are 2.5 times more likely to fail in a recession than those who continue to invest in the development of their people as their most valuable asset. The second reason is that many leaders and managers do not have the skill set to fully engage with their people so as to leverage the very best out of their relationship and the individual's capacity to add value in the workplace and feel fulfilled themselves at the same time. Of all of the leadership disciplines previously described, it is the skill of coaching which is at the centre of connecting with people, as it is all about relationships. And it is connection and relationship that engenders engagement and sustainable high performance over time. Coaching has been identified as a key development activity in attaining strategic business objectives by supporting business leaders and their people in the critical area of personal and professional growth. In overview, the benefits include the enhancement of communication, interpersonal and influencing skills, improvement in engagement with staff in relation to performance and their personal development, and the provision of skills that can be applied to interactions in and across business streams as well as with clients. Coaching can significantly accelerate the success of senior leaders to change behaviours towards a more engaging and engaged culture within the workplace. So what is coaching and how does it work? There are a number of definitions of coaching. However, one of my favourites is something that was coined by Tim Galway, author of a great book called The Inner Game of Tennis, and who is also considered by many to be one of the forefathers of the use of coaching as an effective performance development vehicle. He describes an equation which is P equals P minus I. The first P is for performance. The second one is for potential. And the I is for interference. So, performance equals potential less the interference, or the things that get in the way. In coaching, there is a baseline belief that the individual has the capacity to be successful, to perform well, and therefore to reach their full potential. However, sometimes our actual performance is somewhat less than our potential, as it is undermined by interference, which shows itself perhaps as a lack of confidence, motivation, drive, fear, uncertainty, or any number of other unhelpful thoughts and feelings that swirl around inside and become the foundation for how we behave and therefore the results we tend to get. Coaching, therefore, works to help clear the interference so that the person's potential and their actual level of performance are the same. It is about unlocking their potential to maximise their own performance, and it is focused on helping the person to learn rather than teaching them. A subtle and yet significant distinction between this and other leadership disciplines, which may be more directive and instructional. Coaching can also support the individual even further by exploring ways for that potential and thereby for performance. To grow even more. Coaching is forward-looking and goal-oriented. It assumes that the individual has all the necessary resources, including the ability to find and use those resources which they need. The purpose of coaching is to help individuals define for themselves what they want, to become aware of previously unknown options and choices, to develop appropriate strategies, and move towards their outcomes. The coach assists and accompanies the individual on their chosen route to their goals. At times, the coach will keep the individual focused. At times, they will challenge the individual with questions. Always, they will support and be there for the individual, and they will encourage and believe in them. The coach will also hold the vision and the goal, which the individual may at times lose sight of in the course of the coaching. Early use of coaching in the business world often carried a remedial connotation. People were coached because they were underperforming or because their behaviour was unsatisfactory. Whilst coaching is perfectly suited for these types of interventions, it is now also increasingly seen as a means of developing people within an organisation from a far more aspirational perspective and in the pursuit of excellence. To help further define coaching, here are some of the characteristics of a coaching approach. Coaching is a fairly short-term activity. It consists of one-to-one developmental discussions. It provides people with feedback on both their strengths and areas of development. It is aimed at specific areas or issues. It is time-bounded. It focuses on improving performance and developing or enhancing individuals' skills. It is used to address a wide range of issues. Coaching activities have both organisational and individual or personal goals. It works on the belief that individuals are self-aware and, with the coach's support, can find the right solution for themselves. It focuses on current and future performance and behaviour. Personal issues may be discussed, however, the emphasis for business coaching is on performance at work. And coaching is a highly skilled leadership activity. Coaching has become very popular as it has given rise to the following benefits. Coaching is very well suited as an effective leadership tool and intervention in our rapidly evolving and changing workplace environment. Coaching promotes and accelerates the swift adjustment of individuals to new and bigger roles. Coaching, through the way it is usually packaged, supports a just-in-time and targeted approach for results and delivery of objectives and performance. There is a growing acceptance of the high level of costs associated with poorly performing senior managers and executives. Coaching provides an opportunity to undertake preemptive and proactive measures to improve their performance. Coaching can provide a safe and objective haven for the individual to think and plan, leading to greatly improved decision-making abilities. There is an increasing trend for individuals to take greater responsibility for their own personal and professional development. Coaching can help individuals identify their own development needs, plan development activities, and support personal problem solving. The coaching process. The coaching process may begin with an explanation or introduction of what coaching is and how it works, so that both the coach and the individual understand how they will work together effectively. Part of this explanation will include establishing that coaching is a process which is driven by the individual and not the coach or manager. This highlights the point that it is the individual who is taking ownership and responsibility for their own behaviour, performance, and growth. And their manager coach is supporting them by facilitating that process. The next step of the process may be to establish the specific goal or outcome that the individual wants to work towards and achieve. This goal is one which should support the individual in their pursuit for development and fulfillment at work, and it should be something which, through its achievement, also creates a tangible benefit for the organisation. It is important, therefore, that this goal is measurable, realistic, and appropriate. Later on in this podcast series, we will look at techniques for how to establish good coaching goals and outcomes. With the goal established, it may be useful to clarify the role that you will play as the coach. This will usually be a balance between supporting and challenging. You may support the individual in the following ways: by being fully present and focused on the individual and the goal they are working towards, by giving positive messages of acknowledgement and encouragement, by listening actively at all times, by remaining objective, by having positive regard and positive intent for the individual, by refocusing the individual and reminding them of their vision and their goal when needed. You may also challenge the individual in the following ways: by asking powerful questions to create a different perspective and provoke thought, by making observations and giving feedback, by using direct communication, by holding the individual accountable for their actions and the ownership of their development and the achievement of their own chosen goal. Finally, you will then go on to agree the logistics of the coaching work that you will undertake with the person. This will include agreeing the following things: how many coaching sessions you will have, how long each session will be, how frequently you will have a session, whether the sessions will be face-to-face or over the telephone, or a combination of both, how you will review or assess progress, where and when you will meet. There are no hard and fast rules for these logistical arrangements. However, as a guideline, a typical coaching package may consist of approximately 6 sessions, at which point the goal can be reviewed for progress and further sessions agreed if appropriate. A telephone-based coaching session can be useful if either you or the individual are out of the office regularly. Such sessions may last between 30 and 45 minutes each. Face-to-face sessions may last between 1 to 2 hours. Time boundaries are considered to be important in coaching, and so there is an expectation that both parties will always arrive on time and the coach will manage the time during the session, which should not overrun. To get the best out of coaching, it is important that sessions have regularity as opposed to being ad hoc. And so agreeing something weekly, fortnightly, or monthly is advisable. It may also be that the sessions are more frequent to begin with and then are spread out a little more as progress and momentum are achieved. What is also important to consider when arranging the logistics is to be mindful that coaching is a confidential activity, and therefore a suitable room with privacy where both you and the individual can work quietly, freely, undisturbed and privately is important. This coaching process is often called contracting, and is a very important activity to establish the foundation and the framework for the piece of work you will do together. It is also a process which may be revisited at any point during the coaching work if necessary. Once the agreed coaching package has been completed, the final part of the process is to review the goal with the intent of confirming that it has been achieved and thereby demonstrating measurable value to both the individual and the organisation as previously outlined. In summary, here is a list of the areas that would typically be part of the coaching process. At the start, you would cover what is coaching and how does it work? Contracting. Your role as the coach. Business and administration. Logistics. How you will work together. Creating rapport and trust. And how you will finish the coaching. Throughout the coaching, you would cover review and check in on progress against the goal, recontracting, feedback, acknowledging achievement, maintaining accountability and focus, and preparing for the end of the coaching package. At the end, you would cover feedback, evaluation of the coaching, closure, and next steps. Coaching is a skilled leadership activity, and therefore the effective undertaking of a coaching package requires certain skills, some of which are readily and easily learnable, and others which require greater skill and advancement. As with all of the leadership disciplines, coaching has a science and an art about it. And during these subsequent podcasts, I will begin to cover and share some of the tools and techniques associated with good coaching practice. These tools and techniques will be split into two areas: a coaching toolkit and coaching concepts. The toolkit covers techniques that you can share with your clients almost as exercises and models for them to complete and use in their coaching work with you. The coaching concepts are models and theories which are very useful for you as a coach to know, and which you may either draw upon in your coaching work or specifically reference with the individual if it feels relevant and appropriate to do so. This will enable you to acquire some of the science. The art comes with practice and experience and a commitment to developing a level of excellence in this important leadership attribute. This concludes the podcast on coaching in the workplace. I do hope you found this useful, and thank you very much for listening.